let's look at our lesson for tonight. This is part two. Last week we talked about part one, working by prayer. This is actually getting work accomplished and doing it through prayer. So the second part of this is looking at the nature of prayer. Let me take you to Luke 11, 9 to 13. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The privilege of working by prayer agrees with the nature of true prayer. Prayer is not merely our talking to God. It is more a dialogue. You understand a dialogue, talking back and forth. Let's look then, first of all, at God's side. The first move in true prayer came from God's side. He set in operation the practice of prayer by arranging for it and giving us the invitation to pray. So God tells us to ask, seek, and knock. When we realize that the initiative is with God, we see that prayer is not forcing ourselves into the presence of God, but instead accepting His gracious invitation. This isn't us barging into heaven, you see. This is us knocking on the door and having Him open it and say, good, I ask you to come. With this in mind, we see that man's answered prayer is not breaking the laws of the universe. We're going to be talking about some prayer requests tonight that nothing has worked, and we're asking for at least a minor miracle. So it's not breaking the laws of the universe, but cooperation with the God of the universe. What we often call the laws of the universe are just the way God chose to do it. But God is still the one doing it. Prayer itself is one of the laws of the universe. God may choose from time to time to override a lower law by a higher law in response to the cry of His saints. But it is up to Him. Ask, seek, and knock. The memory system is that the word ask is A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. Reminds you of that. Ask, seek, knock are all in the imperative and constitute a command. They are also in the present tense, indicating the continued duty and privilege of praying. God also takes the initiative in prayer by creating an urge for prayer in the hearts of the believer. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit in your heart is crying out, Father. He also motivates and aids in prayer. Romans 8:26 and 27, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So the infirmities, particularly in our acting of prayer. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. He prays to God for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts, that's the Holy Spirit down in here, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And evidently God, looking at our hearts, knows what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because, or that He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So there is a communication of God to God when that God, the Holy Spirit, lives within your heart. The very heart is the very essence of what you're thinking, what you're feeling, who you are. And so you can use words to disguise your true meaning, but the true meaning, the true heart meaning, is what is communicated. And that's what, and when you falter, to find the right words. It doesn't matter. You have the eloquence of the Holy Spirit himself using the language of God, the groanings that cannot be uttered, a spirit language. So our risen Lord also assists by making intercession for us while he is in heaven. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So they have the Spirit making intercession for us. You have the God the Son making intercession for us. So this assures us that our Father is ever eager to listen to our prayers. So the conversation began with God initiating the conversation. Then we see our side. Once we see what God provided, we understand that we should respond to his invitation. Christ's words in Luke, ask, seek, knock, reminds us that working by prayer is a demanding and strenuous work. It takes a determined effort and perseverance. Keep on keeping on. Do not give up your praying too quickly. It is as though he says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. This implies that we may expect a delay at times, and we should not become discouraged, but persist until the answer comes. God tests the intensity of our desires for the answer to his prayer. Now, if it finishes up, if it ends up, and he has said no, then we take that as from him. But we are to enter into this wholeheartedly with the attitude of keeping on asking, seeking, and knocking. And then we close with God's side. The final move in true prayer is again on God's side. He moves in response to our prayer. So prayer is not just a subjective exercise, good only for the influence it has upon us. There is a lot to this that when you are wholeheartedly into prayer, it changes you. It makes a big difference in who you are. People that have told me that they have trouble praying aloud, I say, well, make much of praying in secret. Get used to talking to God personally. And then you'll find that you lose yourself when you're praying out loud. I've mentioned before that there are times when I'm praying, opening prayer or something, and my thoughts are stirred while I'm praying. And when I say amen and open my eyes, there's a mild surprise that I'm standing here in front of you because I'm used to being by myself as I talk to God. Scott Craney was telling us so many years ago about being at the hospital with one of his little ones. He was sitting out in the hall, and Melissa was in there with the baby, and the baby was just crying and crying and crying. And so he was doing this thing like, come on, boy, you can do this. Come on, it'll be better. Come on. And then he said, what am I doing? He didn't hear me. So he said, I should be praying. So he actually then prayed God to calm his spirit. And like a switch, the baby stopped crying. And he just like us said, wow, that's a coincidence. Time went by and the baby started up again. And so he prayed again. And immediately the baby just stopped, like somebody had clapped a hand over his mouth. But nobody had. So afterwards, he was telling Melissa about that funny thing that happened, the coincidence, when he prayed, baby stopped. She said, that's what happened. The doctor and I looked at each other like, what has happened to him? Did he swallow something, you know? But it was actually an answer to prayer. Good lesson. So it actually brings a response from God. What we're asking, even tonight, we expect that since God asked us to do this, and we do, when we mean what we're saying, we look for the response from God. Christ emphasizes this in the Luke passage. Notice he says, it shall be given you. You shall find, and it shall be opened unto you. God always hears believing prayer, but the answer may come in ways, in a form or manner different from the idea we had when we asked. Don't be so quick to prescribe exactly what needs to be done. Get into the habit of laying the problem before God, like a child does to his father. As a loving father, he will give us what is best for us. Christ also emphasized that God will not fool us. The whole, sure, here's your bread, and then crunch. No, it's a rock. He will not fool us. He will not give us a bad or dangerous alternative to what we ask. The old story of Sam was reminding me about this, about the genie, before it was a genie, was a D-J-I-N-N, jinn, Arabic concept. And these were supposed to be demons captured by Solomon and imprisoned in a bottle or a lamp. So if you ask for a wish, it had to grant you that wish, but the thing was, be careful what you ask for. And there was a movie where she said, I want to look like this forever. I don't want to age. And he granted the wish, and she turned into a mannequin, you know, dead right there, but never changing. Watchman Nee, you have to be careful with Watchman Nee. He's a little bit of a mystic and thinks that a lot of what we're doing is all about feeling and that type of thing. But this is good. Watchman Nee. He desires man to cooperate with him through prayer. Prayer must originate from God, be responded to by us. Such alone is meaningful prayer. Since God's work is controlled by such prayer, how many things the Lord indeed desires to do, yet he does not perform them because his people do not pray. And we'll be showing this in Scripture in later lessons. So working by prayer is the God-ordained privilege of the believer. God graciously invites his children to enter freely into this full experience of prayer. It is a privilege open to all by faith. So praise God for that promise.